to Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh, a place to chow down on topics relevant to writers of all kinds.
Hello, and welcome to Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh. I'm Marissa, and this is a now fortnightly podcast in which I talk about a wide variety of writing and reading-related topics. And sometimes I have a really cool guest on, which is the case this week. I'm going to get right into the interview. I spoke to Mirija V. I've known Mirija for some time on Twitter, and she's just been great to interact with. And it turns out she's got this amazing body of work, and she's also working on a few other things that'll be coming out in the future. And I was really looking forward to talking to her, and she just has a lot of really, really interesting things to say. And I think whether you're a writer or if you're not a writer, you can take so much away from what Mirija said during our interview. So I'm going to get right into that now. And here it is. Enjoy.
My guest today is Mirija, author and musician who resides between San Diego, California and Baltimore, Maryland. She has attained a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Music Performance, a Master of Management degree specializing in Human Resources Management, and is currently enrolled in a doctoral program in General Psychology. Mirija created a small nonprofit organization, MJV's Worldwide Reach, to educate others about the cultural, economic, educational, and agricultural differences across the globe that impact not only outside countries, but the United States as well, in order to create innovative solutions to make a positive difference. Mirija, known primarily for her wanderlust endeavors and destination adventure sharing on social media, travels worldwide and attains her inspiration from all over the globe. She is featured at one of the biggest annual events in Maryland, the Baltimore Book Festival. Mirija, thanks so much for speaking to me. It is so great to have you here. And that's a very impressive biography. Oh, you're totally welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I was looking at some of the material that you sent me, and I noticed that you've been writing since you were 17. So I guess if we can start, what inspired you to start writing, and what type of writing did you start with? Was there a particular kind, or?
So like any usual angsty teenager, I think what started me was just having this overflow and rush of emotions about every little thing. You know, teenagers are so hormonal, and we feel like everything is either the end of the world or a new beginning.
Exactly.
being verbally expressive in school where things are so chaotic and also you have other teenagers that are trying to do the same thing, I felt like channeling things in writing was really important to me. And I think initially I probably didn't take it seriously. It's just something to do, an outlet that I needed. And then eventually it kind of just turned into this thing that I don't know, rereading it kind of helped me rediscover myself over and over again. And then I realized that sometimes sharing it with others helped them. It helped me feel not alone, you know, with all these different feelings and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. That sounds great. I mean, there's definitely a lot in there that I could relate to. Who were some of the writers that you found really inspiring, like growing up?
Oh my gosh. Wow. So I think the first two, it's kind of weird, but Dean Koontz and Stephen King.
Yeah.
My mom, she like started me off reading a lot of Archie comics and things like that. My dad too, like Marvel and DC comics.
Nice.
And they're so visually like stimulating and creative and stuff like that. But then my mom also had me reading the horror books that were very lengthy and, you know, textural, and you had to really get through them. I mean, some of those books, like as a teenager, I was like, this is so long, it's ridiculous, but it helped me really with both reading and writing and visualization. I just, those are two of my favorites that immediately come to mind.
Yeah, definitely. Stephen King's one of my favorites too. I haven't read that much Dean Koontz, but he's what I have read by him was good.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So I saw that you've been an author since 2016. What was your first book, and what was the process of writing that and putting it together like?
My first book was Excerpts from the Abyss, Love, Mental Illness, and Everything in Between.
Okay.
It was a book that, although a lot of it came from my writings when I was younger, most of it is compiled from thoughts and pieces that I've composed as an adult in my late 20s. And it was because I felt like there's such a stigma, like, around mental illness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, in relationships or just as an individual. And I felt like with all the romance novels and all the horror novels and all the, like, psych stuff, they're all in their own genre, but I don't really see that much of them kind of intertwined, talking about how it is just to love yourself and love others, to deal with mental illness as an individual and in a relationship, and then just everything else that comes in life, you know, just how to make it work without needing specifically a self-help book or specifically a romance novel or, you know, just something that kind of all of that, you know, in one. So that's what my first book was, me just really putting the book together while putting myself together.
That's great. I was impressed by the number of books that you have on Amazon. I mean, it seemed like, I noticed like you co-wrote some of them, but still, I mean, that was really, really impressive. And I'm going to put links in the notes too, so listeners can go and check it all out.
Thank you.
Oh, you're totally welcome. But what have you learned since you put that first book out? That you maybe you didn't know at that time, that you know now after having put out a few more books?
I think what I learned was that no matter what you're going through or who you are, you're never alone. There's always somebody that can relate. It doesn't matter what demographic, you know, age group, race, ethnicity. Everybody can relate to you in some way. And when we live in our own little bubble, you know, even if you're in a room full of people, you sometimes just feel so alone. There are certain things that I think all of us have a specific set of boundaries that we just don't share with others. And sometimes when you're writing, it's like your way of sharing without being too, like, you're vulnerable and transparent, but you don't have to, you know, you don't have to feel so, like, raw and exposed. There are other people that kind of take your hand and you're like, it's okay, you know, me too, you know, that kind of thing. So I think after the first book, I was terrified. Like, when I started reading the reviews, they were initially from friends and family, of course, who just like to support, you know, and make sure it doesn't look all, you know, whatever. But then the scary thing is when there's like that first review from a stranger, you're like, I don't know this person. So it's your first, not to say your friends and family aren't real, but it's your first, like, unbiased, I don't care about you, I don't have a reason to lie kind of review.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and those start to roll in, and that's when it's really like, okay, wow, this is, you know, this is legit. Both my feelings are, not to say they're not validated without it, but it's very nice to be affirmed in that way.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point that you brought up about reviews, because I don't market my books very well. I was going to ask you more about what you would suggest to, like, up and coming writers later on, but if you want to talk a little more maybe about, how do I want to word this? I'm sorry. This is just something I'm coming up with off the top of my head. I know that reviews are really important for writers, especially writers who self-publish books on Amazon. What are some, I guess, maybe tips that you'd have for writers, first of all, trying to get more reviews, and also maybe deciding which reviews to take to heart and which ones to take with a grain of salt? Because there are some people that just, they're in a bad mood and the day they woke up and just decided to write a bad review.
Yeah.
There's
something
about
this. Especially during COVID. I would say that my number one piece of advice would just be to be authentically yourself, because that encompasses so many things, including believing in your work. Marketing has to be organic. You know, I know a lot of people take the shortcuts and, like, the packages and programs and all that, and that's cool. I mean, they're there for a reason. But when it comes to longevity, you know, versus what it looks like now, it is very important to have an organic audience that at any given time can say they've read your work or they've heard of you. The problem with the packages and programs and things like that, that are kind of the, not shortcut, but the, you know, the quick step, everybody wants to be, you know, known right now, but it's like, how, trying to say a tactful, say this in a tactful way, do you want to be known, like, right now, for in a popular way, or do you want to be known, you know, just further down the line for the substance, for the content? And people can know that better when you offer things like free PDFs. You know, I will give you a free copy of my book if you want to review it.
That would
way
be
you
good.
Get writing experience. Yeah, you don't have to spend money on something you're not sure about. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not well known, so I don't expect people to be paying, you know, $10-$20 for my books. You have no idea if you're even going to like it or not. So when I first started out, especially on social media, like IG and Twitter, it was very nice getting to know people organically. A lot of us were also getting to know each other. Some were just strangers from other sides of Twitter, but most were in the writing community.
Yeah.
Other authors, you know, up and coming, trying to make it. And that exchange is really important, both getting to know a person for who they are and getting to, you know, exchange work. Because creatives really have to help each other, and understanding how important public support is a really big problem. You know, likes and stuff are cool, but like people see it when it's on your page, because that's a bold statement. It's saying like, hey, I've read this, I've seen it, you know what I mean? Or it's just that little bit of support versus people that will support you in private, but like that doesn't help me. You know, like I know you like it in private, but can you kind of tell other people so they kind of, you know, check it out for themselves? So it's important to have enough faith in your work that you're able to share it freely. Don't be about the money, you know, so soon. A lot of people, I floated towards Amazon first because it was the first self-publishing site when they were still CreateSpace.
Right.
So that's kind of why I started there. But like, I'm also trying to, I only went international 2 years ago, so that I'm able to do like thrift bookstore sites. I hate that tongue twister.
No, that's hard.
And other places that offer, you know, the same material for lower prices, because sometimes Amazon makes you set your prices. And, you know, not just with COVID, but just economically in the world now, you know, I don't want to be that person that's like price gouging or anything like that. So I gladly offer readers and other creatives like free copies all the time. And it really helps, because they feel almost like motivated to, you know, to get reviews of how they felt about it. They didn't have to spend money for it, and they either enjoyed reading it or hated it. And as far as what you asked about bad reviews or reviews to take to heart, you know, we are all strangers to each other in a sense. And, you know, art, as my fiance would say, is subjective, and you have to take everything with a grain of rice and also understand that your perspective is yours alone. While people can share some semblance of it, nobody will ever have the exact same perspective as you, whether you are the artist or the one looking at the art. So, you know, if somebody gives you a 3-star, somebody gives you a 5-star, just, you know, you just gotta kind of keep moving. You know, you really don't take anything to heart, you know.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, there's so much in there that I think is going to be helpful for our listeners. So thank you for going into that. That's awesome. I also saw you're experimenting with multi-genre content, and I really found that intriguing. What are some of the genres that you would include in this, and what do you find, I guess, appealing about these genres?
So, as you know, I started off as like an indie writer. And so my content has been, my first book was Love and Mental Illness and Everything in Between, which is trauma and tragedy, a bit of like drama. And it's mostly like fictional with, you know, tinging upon like non-fictional ideals and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the series is mostly all of the same stuff. And the third book, Excerpts from the Disconnect, kind of became a delve into psychological, like the psychological genre. It's very specific about getting into the types of mental illnesses and breaking them down, and how it deals with socializing and dealing with like global politics. So it got pretty broad. And then I very specifically wanted to get out of that genre when I did a book with my fiance, and it's a romance novel. It's set up about Greek and Roman tragedy.
Oh, wow.
Two different worlds, and they meet each other, and then it's kind of like this very big dramatic tragedy. So there's that. And then I kind of jumped into satire and cynicism.
Oh, cool.
So just kind of jumping across genres, because I feel like while we are probably way better at some genres than others, I don't feel like anybody is just one singular genre writer. We all have the, you know, capability to do more than one thing. I just actually wanted to put my energy into it and see if I could. And the satire, but it's called Odds and Ends. It's like Confessions and Misadventures. And it is probably one of the dumbest books you'll ever every, it's hilariously silly and goofy and dark cynicism, and that's what I am, you know?
See, I love that. Satire is one of my favorite genres. I just love it.
So I was terrified about putting it out because, as you know, just like anything, everybody's sense of humor is not, you know, for others. So I was thinking, like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm absolutely, like, mental, and I was waiting for the feedback, and of course from your friends will always think you're hilarious, you know, but like, again, what is that first stranger's review? I think my very first stranger review, the person was like, it was like an ellipsis, and then it was like, okay. And then this was rolling in, and it's just like, oh, this is hilarious, and then some were like, this is exactly what the title is, odd, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really good to just put your feet in the water. Just see, I feel like we have many lifetimes, but in every single one, I just want to try a little bit of everything. You know, it's like, why not? Who cares?
I think that's great. Yeah, I definitely, I'm definitely intrigued by that. Like, I'd say satire and horror, probably my two favorite genres. I don't know how well they mix. I think they can mix quite well.
They mix very well. Yeah. Like some good dark cynicism while something crazy and, you know, is happening. It's good. I'm actually writing a horror novel also.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
How far along are you in that, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I think my WIP is literally 2 pages. So, or not. It's literally just 2 pages and less than 5,000 words. I shared a short snippet of it on Twitter maybe a couple of months ago. It's called July 13th, and it's about a girl who kills someone on her birthday every year. It's always somebody that she dates.
I love that idea. I love that. That's awesome. Good luck finishing that. I definitely, I'm looking forward to reading that one. So, also I wanted to talk a little bit about your BFA in music performance, because I think that's really interesting. What, if you could just talk maybe a little bit more about that, and also what are the some of the similarities that you find between making music and writing?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, I have a bachelor's in fine arts, with a concentration in piano. So
oh,
these
cool.
these are press-ons for everybody watching. These are press-ons. I pop them off anytime I get to practice music. I just like them because they're long and colorful. So my dad actually started taking piano lessons so that he could teach me, because he started me when I was 3 years old. And then from there, I kind of started taking different lessons like guitar and oboe and stuff like that. The piano has always been my main focus. So I was classically trained, and then from there I went to a visual and performing arts high school. Cool. In the middle of my the music, there's a accompanist. He was actually a music choir director. He found me, I was playing something, probably not paying attention, came up and asked me, you know, if I was interested in traveling cross country with him and his choir. Yeah, and that was fun, and it really started me in kind of like getting out of my little shell. I'm a very shy person. It kind of got me out of my shell and really had me more familiar. That's how I started wanderlusting with, as far as like traveling and then like performing in front of others. And I just, piano has just always been my love, and I'm not a great, you know how people can hear something and be like, oh, that's this, and start playing it. I'm a sight reader.
Yeah.
So I love people that have like amazing hearing. I do not. So like, I love doing stuff because I learn new stuff. So you put music in front of me and give me a couple hours, I'll have it down pat. Writing is the same way. Like, if you just leave me alone with my thoughts for a minute, I can write anything for you. So those two, to me, are just kind of like intertwined. Piano used to be like my piece. The same way I can write something now and let my thoughts out and process my emotions, I can do that on the piano as well. It's just, they're just both kind of like, you know, your private little paradise, you know, your bit of peace.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I wanted to ask you, do you think having some type of involvement in another art form is beneficial to writers? And if so, how do you think it's beneficial? Because I definitely do, but I wanted to get some of your thoughts on that.
I think it's great to have, I'm kind of biased because I, like I said earlier, I kind of believe in doing a little bit of everything, not to be, you know, the master of none, jack of all trades thing, but just to be so equally yoked that you are constantly developing, constantly learning, and whether it's a new trade or a hobby, not things that much of both sides of your brain when you learn other hobbies, especially when it's something that's also, like, you know, musically or creatively, you know, like, what is from specifically that aspect, because they are so closely related. Music and writing, people that are, like, film writers and people that are very, like, oral and visual, I think all that stuff is basically, it's just all part of that art. It's all part of those synapses that go off in that part of your brain that make you, you know what I mean? I just always, like, in a room, you can always identify the creatives.
Yeah.
Like, straight away, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely think it's important for writers to be able to just be well-rounded. And as far as art, and this is something that I've only been really focused on in the last few years, I always wanted to be good at everything. And now I'm like, you don't even necessarily have to be good at it. It's just good to, like, be able to do something else. And, you know, it just helps broaden your mind. It just helps you see things in a different way.
Yeah, for sure. Because also the concept of being good is, like, to whom, you know, like,
yeah,
what may sound good or feel good to me might be like, that sucks to somebody else, you know. So you're doing it because you fully enjoy it, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's great. I would also really love to hear more about your travels, because I saw that on your website, which I thought it was just fantastic. So what are some of the places that you've been to that you maybe you've found the most inspiring?
Indonesia is probably my favorite travel place. Bali was just one of those, well, specifically Ubud, the jungles there, it was so incredibly peaceful. The people were not only welcoming, because, you know, I learned a little bit of the Balinese language and a little bit
cool.
of Indonesian, yeah, because I just feel like when you come from America, it's very important to travel to other countries, acclimating to them instead of expecting them to acclimate to you. It's one of the American things I feel is just very entitled, and I try to stray away from that when I'm coming to other people's home.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was very nice just to see how they, you know, welcomed me and embraced me. I learned so much about the jungles and just the peace of the beaches and the temples and how they sacrifice things to, you know, the gods and the beliefs that they hold sacred to them. And just that the entire environment, the air, just felt so different and calming. Bali and probably Thailand also, for sure. Like, incredibly, you know. Costa Rica, also a close third.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Costa Rica.
Yeah, they're very, like, community for country, and they all work together for their ecosystem and for the agriculture. I just think that's so important, and we can learn. So my main reason for traveling is just to learn so much about other cultures and to take things from them mentally and emotionally without, you know, bothering physically. You know, I don't like to leave too many carbon footprints when I go places, but I love to take, I just feel like so many things have been ingrained to me from learning from other people and how they live.
Yeah, definitely. What is maybe a place that you haven't been to yet that you'd like to go to?
Wow. Antarctica, but I'm a little bit nervous because it's either going to be Antarctica or the Galapagos Islands. The Galapagos Islands, I feel like, morally and ethically, I feel like I shouldn't travel there. It's one of those places I feel should remain, you know, relatively untouched, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, and then Antarctica, I just feel like maybe years ago, that was probably one of the places I really, really wanted to go, but now with the issue of global warming, I'm pretty sure it's probably extremely dangerous as glaciers are melting at an alarming rate. So
Yeah. How about, like, travel writing? Have you ever done any of that, or would you be interested in doing anything like that at any point?
I definitely would. Yeah, I definitely would. I was considering, so one thing that I would like to do is work for a subsection of National Geographic.
Nice.
It's kind of something that's, like, on a little private bucket list of, well, not so private now, but, like, a private bucket list of mine, because I do a lot of travel photography and videography.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, like, I want to start doing something like that. It's just very time consuming, and it would become a major part of my life, which I don't really have a problem with. I just also kind of, I want to do a little bit of everything, so I don't want to accidentally make something that I do as a hobby turn into a career where now it's like homework, you know? Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, sometimes we turn things into like now it's work and it's like, oh, I enjoy it less.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's something I you don't necessarily have to do it full time, but just a little bit. That's great. I don't think I've actually ever spoken about travel writing on my show. That's an area that maybe I might want to explore at some point, but I think it's great to, I mean, obviously with travel writing, I think certain things are important, like definitely showing respect for the places that you visit, and like Absolutely. You were saying about this American mentality of expecting the world to come to you, like that just doesn't work. So but I think travel writing is fantastic, so even if you just do a little bit of that, I think that's great. And the photography
definitely
too.
Check it out.
So this nonprofit organization sounds really fascinating. If you can just talk a little bit more about that, that would be great.
I don't have it's not like a legal nonprofit. It's a group that I actually started, and it's important that like I separate that, because we work on a volunteer basis. It was just me starting it by myself, and then my friends kind of seeing like, oh, we see you travel a lot and doing things at like different safaris and like concert, like I don't know, it started off as this thing that was in my head, and then a group of friends and I just decided that maybe we could travel to some different places, learn some things, and just basically do like documentaries about it, like videography and photography, the same thing I was talking about earlier, but just basically going to different places and helping. I think the last thing that I probably did was, it probably was in Bali, when we were in the monkey forest and stuff, just kind of helping do small projects. It could be like doing like a comic books for kids thing, so that they can figure out how to use graphic design in a way that is interesting to them, while also making themselves into superhero comic characters.
That's fun.
Stuff like that. And then going to different like places where there's animals, helping them like clean up, and just like very small like projects that are very kind of spontaneous. It's a thing that I'm trying not to lose focus with it, but with other stuff that I have going on, I think that's why I haven't really. I would like to get it up off the ground and running, but my mind is just too many things going on at one time. So
I know the feeling, but I think that's great to get started on something like that, and then when you're able to devote more time to it, I think that's just going to be fantastic.
Thank you.
Actually, you're kind of led into one of like the next thing I was going to ask you. I like to ask writers that have busy lifestyles, how do you fit writing in? Like, what would you suggest to somebody who maybe wanted to fit writing in, but they have other interests or other responsibilities or that type of thing?
I didn't know that it's, I do seem busy. I am not busy. Okay. So I like to make moves that fulfill me, that make me happy, but I do not like the whole booked and busy, constantly hustling mentality. It's just not for, I was just talking to a friend about that. It's not for me. I am more of a beach bum, hippie kind of person. I like to just be happy and do what, like, again, what's fulfilling for me. So I have a day job, but it's very structured. I think I've spent so much time there that I wanted to perfect what I do so that I become an asset, that I'm good at my skill set, but so that I'm also able to be trusted, and now I develop, my own schedule so that I do make my own, make my own time. Time is such an important thing that we can't get back.
Exactly.
And I know that people get so, as adults, we get caught up in the whole 9-to-5 thing, and don't get me wrong, this is not to sound elitist, because money is very important. Like, that's just reality. As creatives, we do so many things that often do not make us the money that we, we really deserve to make, just like teachers and football players, stuff like that. Like, there's such a weird inequity with like who makes what money when we all basically need food and roofs over our heads, stuff like that. But as we become adults, we have less and less time to have not fun, but just not to be, I don't want to commute to work to get to work and then commute back home just to like get rest so I can commute the next day. We're not hamsters. We're not meant to live like that. It's very important to take your happiness wherever you can get it. It's very, like, I think every single day you should have a moment where you can remember, like, I consciously took this time for myself, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely important. Yeah, I mean, you gave me a lot of good answers.
thank you.
I want to open it up to you. Like, what would you like to talk about? Anything. It can be writing related. It doesn't necessarily have to be writing related. It could be reading related. I'm pretty much open. I think you're fascinating to listen to, so I want to leave that open.
thank you. Like I said, I'm kind of shy. I don't know. I very much am, like, an Earth Day is every day advocate. So, like, if I have an open floor to say anything, it's usually just, you know, I know we are already in dire straits, and people have kind of mentally just are either overly focused and they're on the internet yelling about everything every day, or they have just completely zoned out and things just seem like, you know, constant despair. But I hope that everybody is able to find some sense of balance, some sense of peace, and also to remember that, like, we have this planet. Whether you believe we're in a simulation or we're, like, reincarnated into one of our 9 million lives, you have to take care of the planet that we live on. Don't let her, you know, kind of cut down on, like, the carbons. Like, it's very important to just, I feel like, especially with COVID, we've kind of lost touch with what it means to care for yourself, but also to care for others. If we cannot have a sense of community, there's no way that we're gonna make it. And as everybody becomes more selfish and more, you know, tunnel vision focused, and there's all these agendas and all this divisive nature stuff, I just don't really know the direction or the trajectory that things are gonna take. But I would hope that everybody kind of, like, as days goes on, use your own mind, use your own heart, and just really remember that, like, regardless of how chaotic things seem now, just look ahead in the future. Like, think about what you want your future to look like for yourself and for your children, and how to get there. What steps can you take to get there? And as for myself, I take little steps every day. You know, if you smoke, don't ash it in the ground. You know, the buds don't go, they don't magically disappear. Waste less food, please. Shop responsibly. You know, it's very important. And anything that you think of that you can do to help and you want to know, don't waste the emotional labor of other people. Please look it up. Don't ask people what you can do the same way they found out you can too. You know, we all have to be responsible and accountable. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of thing, but just a general, you know, human being thing.
I agree. I mean, I definitely agree with all of that. You said a lot of really fantastic things there, and I just wish more people felt that way. But, you know.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And lastly, what projects or would you like to plug? Like, anything you have coming out soon or anything that you're publicizing right now?
So the horror novel is far from being done, but I am working on another drama. It's my first, like, novel that's not a part of the Excerpts From series, so it's not poetry, it's an actual book, and it's called What Happened by the River.
Cool.
It is drama, it's drama and horror and tragedy, and it's going to be, I don't know when to predict it. I want to say maybe the beginning of next year, so probably early February. I'm going to start being more intentional about making updates on my site. It's MarijaVWanderlust.com. And basically, as projects come up and events or book signings or anything that I'm going to do, I'm going to start being more intentional about, like, letting readers in on it. Because as I said, as I've been reading reviews, I just recently made the triple, like, review. I got 100 plus reviews on every book in my Excerpts From series.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
They all remained at 4.5 or above.
Nice.
So I wanted to actually, for all my readers who may be listening or looking, I really genuinely love you guys and I appreciate it. Like, I'm really happy about that, and I'm glad that everybody is, you know, receiving the content however it appeals to them. And I think that I'm going to start making some updates on my website so that, you know, when things are happening, everybody can start to join me. I know it's COVID, but I would like to maybe, like, you know, safely, you know, as things are, like, Zooming and Skyping, that I'd be able to kind of interact with my readers more.
Yeah, that's really great. Congratulations again on that. That's very impressive with the ratings. Marijah, I really enjoy talking to you. I want to thank you so much. Thanks, you are too. And I would even be open to having you on as a guest when your next book comes out. I mean,
Oh, thank you. I
Yeah, I would totally be open to that. You have so
Okay,
much
great.
to say, and I'm sure, I came up with my questions, but there's so much more I could probably think of between now and then.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's so awesome.
You're totally welcome.
Once again, I really want to thank my guest, Mirajah V, for taking the time to talk to me and being a great guest. I'm going to include links to her website, her Amazon page, and a few other things in the notes for this episode. I really think you should go and check them out because there's a lot there, a lot of really cool stuff there. And also, please let me know what you thought of this episode. Email me at marissadelefarfalle@gmail.com and follow me on Twitter if you don't already at marissad13 and on Instagram at www.instagram.com/marissadf13. You can also check out my Buy Me a Coffee page at www.buymeacoffee.com/marissadf13, where you can buy me a coffee, and if you do, I will personally thank you in an upcoming episode. I would also really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, as it'll help a lot more people find out about this show. Finally, I mentioned recently that I started a new podcast a few weeks ago called The Victorian Variety Show. I put a new episode of that up last week on mesmerism. I'm also going to include a link to that in the notes for this episode if you would like to check that out. I recently announced that I'm going to be switching off between podcasts each week. So I was originally doing Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh on a weekly basis. That's why it's now fortnightly, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. So there will be a new episode of Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, like I said, if you want to check out the Victorian Variety Show, that link to last week's episode will be in the notes. And I will have a new episode of that out next weekend. So I apologize for the confusion. It's still very new, and I understand how that can be confusing, but that's me. That's how I roll pretty much. Until next time, whichever podcast you listen to next, just stay safe out there and peace out. And thanks for listening and for the support, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah, I'm truly grateful for all of it, and all of you. So thank you so much. Take care.
This podcast is written and produced by Marissa Delle Farfalle and brought to you by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Learn more at www.anchor.fm.